Man, I'm glad Woody got saved. We began a series last week called After, When All Hope is Lost. We're going to continue that today. Would you take your Bibles and go to the book of Matthew, the 15th chapter? As you're doing that, let me say hello to all the campuses today that are joining with us. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and I'm glad you're with us today. Today is a very special day for Love and Truth Ministry. We just celebrated Easter last week, but this week we celebrate our two-year anniversary at our South Campus here in Jackson. So we're excited about that. In those 2 years, just listen, in those 2 years, they've had 728 commitments, they've had 145 water baptisms, and through this year, they have averaged 288 on Sunday morning. So we congratulate our South Campus today, and we're excited about what God is doing at every campus that we have. We began last week talking on this subject of after, as we were celebrating the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and so we're just going to continue that today. Last week, we talked about after death. Today, we're going to talk about after despair. So would you take your Bibles and go to the book of Mark, the 15th chapter, Mark chapter 15, and I'm going to read several verses. I'm going to begin in the 39th verse and read through the 47th verse, which is a little bit longer than I normally do, but it kind of sets up the story for us today. It says, "And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he had died, he said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.' Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him," speaking of Jesus, "and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there." Verse 42, "It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God," interesting terminology there, "went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that Jesus was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid." I want to talk to you today about despair. The word despair is an interesting word. The word despair simply means feeling things will never improve. It's in that moment where all of our hope is lost, where we really feel like, you know what, it's not going to get any better, it's not going to turn around, it's just always going to be this way. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever had a moment of despair? Right? I think it's a pretty common occurrence in humanity. I don't think many of us get to live real long without at some point coming to that place. And as a child, have you ever noticed that children have lots of moments of despair? Right? I mean, a toy breaks and their whole world breaks, right? And they cry and weep and bring it to mom or dad, "Fix this, my world, you know, I can't." And you look at it and go, it's not that big a deal. But guess what? To them, right, it's a big deal. And so I was thinking about what despair meant, and I looked at some different authors. I want to just give you some things that authors said about despair that I thought were interesting. One of them said, "My life is a perfect graveyard of buried hope." Does that not sound like despair? Another one said, "The prince is never going to come. Everyone knows that, and maybe Sleeping Beauty is dead." Kind of just messed up some good old fairy tales right then, didn't we? Another one said, "Life is a tale." This is out of Macbeth. "Life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing." Another author said this, "Losing your life is not the worst thing that can happen. The worst thing is to lose your reason for living." Despair. Many of us have experienced that. Many of us have gone through that. Many of us have come up to a moment. Maybe it was a moment in your life when the doctor walked in and gave you some kind of a dreaded diagnosis. Or maybe it was a husband or a wife looking across the table at you and saying, this is never going to get better and I don't want to be in this marriage anymore. Or maybe it was a child who you had such high hopes for and that you believed so many great things were going to happen, and yet you see their life being consumed by some kind of an addiction that is destroying them. And in that moment, you feel like all of life is over. And see, here's what you've got to know. Knowing despair, the sources of despair a lot of times is what we need to understand. Here's what it is. Knowing you can never succeed or obtain something you deeply desire brings despair. It brings that despair down inside of you, and you go, I'm never going to get this. I'm never going to have it. It's never going to happen for me. You know, when you start out in life, the first few years of life, you kind of feel like anything's possible, don't you? Come on, really? You ever been around a five-year-old? I mean, they believe for anything. They believe they can go to the moon and back without a rocket. I mean, but the longer you live life and the longer things go about, all of a sudden you realize that instead of things being wonderful and great and marvelous the way they should be, sometimes there's not going to happen. And you even get in stages of life. And some of us have lived long enough to know that some of our dreams in our 20s, that they're probably not going to come to pass because they've passed us by. That season is gone in our life. And so a lot of people, when they hit that, it's a source of despair. Or losing someone or something that's close to you. If you've ever gone through the loss of a loved one, you've ever gone through the loss of a family member or a close friend, in that moment, despair has a tendency to grab a hold of you. Another source of despair is physical or emotional harm. Those are two great times when there's something in your body that's not right, or in those moments even where maybe somebody has emotionally wounded you. You remember a lot of things we said in childhood bear repeating, but one of the dumber things we said in childhood was this: sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? Words will never hurt me. I want to tell you, we have lived long enough to know that a lot of times words will hurt you more than sticks and stones. And that's that emotional wound. It's that emotional harm that comes in. And in that moment, we just feel like giving up. And another source of that is misplaced hatred or anger. When you just get hatred down inside of you and anger, and you can't live without hating somebody or a whole group of people or whatever, it brings despair into your life, and it really wants to destroy you. Another way that despair comes is like when you feel like you don't fit. Feel like, you know, everybody else is kind of in their groove and everybody else is doing good. But it's not happening for me. I don't feel like I fit. And all of a sudden, it's that moment of despair that comes to us. Now, in what I read to you today, in the passage that we read in Scripture, what we find is that we find a group of people who are in great despair. I mean, think about it. For 3.5 years, they have given their life to Jesus. They have walked with him. They have gone everywhere he has gone. These people that we read about, these women especially, the Bible said, had taken care of Jesus day in and day out. They had ministered to him. They had taken care of the disciples. Probably what happened, and understand how I say this, and don't anybody throw stones, but probably what they were the support team. They were the ones who cooked the meals. They were the ones who took care of things so that Jesus and the disciples, the apostles, could go forth and do ministry. And so they had been with Jesus, some of them, for the whole 3.5 years. And in this moment, I mean, think about this. You believe that he has come to establish the kingdom in Israel, and all of a sudden you see him die on a cross. You talk about despair. You talk about wanting to give up. You talk about coming to that place of saying, you know what? Everything I believed in, everything I trusted in is gone. I mean, these women are in that moment that their lives feel so destroyed because this one that they had placed their greatest hope in, this one that they believed in with everything inside of them, They just saw him dying on a cross. They just saw him take his last breath. And as he pulled up on the nails that were in his hands and pushed up on the nails that are in his feet, the Bible says he cried out, "It is finished." And when he did, the Bible says that he gave up the ghost. In other words, he died. And they are now in that moment. In fact, they are the whole group of them are in such disarray that the Bible says that the apostles, the 12 men, these strong, anointed men of God who have traveled with Jesus for 3.5 years, they're in a locked room by themselves. Why? Because even the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, all of these guys, every one of them in this moment feels like it's all over. Doubt enters in Thomas's heart, and he says, "I don't believe he's alive." A little bit later, and he says, "Until I touch his hands, until I see the nail prints, and until I see the scar, I won't believe that he's alive." See, here's what we have to understand. What they had forgotten was that Jesus had promised a resurrection. Right? What happens to us when we give up on life is that we forget that there's going to be another day. When despair comes in to destroy your world, what happens to us in that moment is that we never feel like that we're ever going to get back to where we used to be. And so in that moment, we hide away. We lock ourselves into a room. We cower down. We forget that Jesus had said, "In 3 days, I'm getting back up." But you know what? I just saw him die, and death seems greater than his words. Have you ever been in that moment? Have you ever been in that place where you knew that God had told you something? You knew that there was some good thing going to come, but in that moment, you had the word over here, but the circumstances, am I the only one? The circumstances have sucked the life and the faith out of you. And it's like in that moment, you have forgotten everything that God said. You remember in Scripture, there's a time in King David's life that the Bible says he and his men go out to battle. And as they come back, that when they get back to their home city of where the families were, the Scripture said that the enemy had come in and they had taken all the women and children and all the stuff, and they had taken them to another land. And the Bible says that even David's men, it says these mighty men of war, now think about it, these are mighty soldiers. It said that they were so distraught that they laid down on the ground and cried until they couldn't cry anymore. Think about that. You talk about despair. You talk about giving up. In that moment, in fact, they were so in a place of despair that the Bible says that they talked among themselves and said, "We're going to kill David." But you know what the Bible says about David? Listen to this statement. The Word of God says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord." He wasn't waiting on anybody else. He didn't look and say, "Well, this person's got to come along," or that. The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord, and the Scripture says that he went back and told the men, "God's going to give us all of the stuff back, and we're going to be all right," and he went back in the battle. Some of us need to come to that place where we go back and encourage ourselves in the Lord. Go back to that word. Go back to that moment. And encourage yourself in the Lord. See, here's what despair is. Despair is a heavy heart. Time and again, you talk about David, time and again, go read the book of Psalms and see the moments that David, this great man of war, this great man of battle, this great king, see the time that he is in despair. See the moments that he talks about being in the pit and talks about, "I turned to the right, I turned to the left, and God wasn't anywhere." I mean, look at those moments in his life, and his heart is heavy because in that moment, it seems like everybody has turned against him. Not only is despair a heavy heart, despair is also a feeling of emptiness. It just feels like everything's been ripped away from you. Right? Now, I promise you, we're going to go on the upswing here in a minute, but you got to understand, we have all been there. And the problem is, if we're not careful, we think that's what life is supposed to be. Well, this life is full of toil and tribulation and trials and difficulties and all of these things. But I got it. I know life can be tough. How many of you found that to be true? How many of you found it's true even if you're a Christian? Right? Being a Christian doesn't mean you don't have bad things happen. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you just walk around and everything's wonderful and everybody loves you and you have plenty of money in your pocket and you never get sick. Amen. That's what some people try to sell you, but that's not Christianity. That's heaven. We're going, but we're not there. Right? We have that hope. We have that assurance, but we're not there. The Bible says it this way. Jesus said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. What is he saying? In this world, you are going to have some difficulties. You're going to go through some tough times. You are going to experience some rough going. But he kept on saying, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So when you're in that place and it feels like your heart is broken and there's just nothing left, always know God's there. And let me say this about despair. Despair is dangerous. Despair is dangerous. Because what despair does is despair has you looking at the dark hole instead of looking up at the sun. It has you looking at the difficulty and the problem and all the things that are out to destroy you instead of understanding that the Bible says, he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it. And there are some of you here today, some of you who are watching today, and you are in a moment of despair. And so here's what I want to show you what despair makes us do sometimes. All right, I want to show you from Scripture. The book of Mark, the 16th chapter, verse 3 says this. Now, this is after Jesus' burial, and the women are headed that day to take care of him and to take care of his body. And watch what it says. It says, and they ask each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Here's what despair does. Despair makes us need help. Now, don't miss this. Needing help is not a bad thing. Right? We love it when we don't need anybody. You ever heard that? I don't need anybody. Oh, yes, you do. In fact, the ones that say that the loudest are the ones that need it the most. Amen. I need help. I mean, I need lots of help. Right? I mean, there are moments in my life that if I don't have somebody to come alongside of me, and these women are going, how are we going to get the stone away? What they're saying is that we need help. But you know what? It's great to admit that we need help. It's great to come to that place where we're not acting as though everything is wonderful and we don't have any problems or difficulties, nothing. No. In that moment, we come to that place. And I'm not saying God makes us go through difficulties. I'm not saying that God puts something on us or brought. But what I am saying to us is that when we do experience these moments in life, what it does is that it drives us to him. And the Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. When I admit in that moment, I don't know what I'm going to do, I don't know how this is going to happen, I don't know how we're going to get this stone rolled away, and that stone doesn't have to be a natural thing, it can be something spiritual, emotional, I don't know what I'm going to do. In that moment is when I come into the presence of God. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what I've found through the years. It's when I come to the end of myself, I come to the beginning of God. And until I come to the end of myself, God will allow me to try to handle it on my own. He'll just say, okay, go ahead, do your thing. But when I come to that place of saying, you know what, I need help, he says, I've been waiting all this time. Verse 4, would you look there? In the fourth verse, it says, but when they looked up, I love God. Right? I mean, they're free. How many of you have ever done this? Come on, you got to tell the truth. Those of you watching, I want you to tell the truth too. How many of you have ever worried and worried and worried about something for days, and when you finally got there, it was nothing? Come on, that's 100. That should be 100. In fact, if somebody's sitting next to you, not just punch them because they're lying in church. I mean, how often we've done that? We freak out about stuff. We get all cumbered about and all, and in the midst of the moment, we're so overwhelmed. And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, isn't it interesting that they had to look up? I'll move on. When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. The second thing about despair is not only does it make us need help, it also makes us need mercy. See, mercy is that aspect of God that is so far beyond our understanding. See, because you and I deserve punishment. You and I deserve the tough things. You and I deserve the rough thing. But God's mercy takes care of it before we ever get there. Before we ever show up with the need, God's mercy has already provided the solution. The Word of God says, before the foundation of the earth, before man was ever created, before Adam and Eve ever sinned, before the 7 billion plus on planet Earth today have ever sinned, the Scripture said, before the foundation of the earth, mercy, okay, it didn't say mercy. It said a lamb was slain. What it said is, before the foundation of the earth, mercy showed up. Mercy was already there before I knew I was going to need it. And in that moment, I get to experience something that is almost beyond imagination when I come into the presence of God. Verse 6 goes on. This story is a wonderful story. Verse 6 says, verse 5 says, they entered and saw a young man dressed in white. Verse 6, he says to them, don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has what? Risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Here's what despair does. The third thing despair does is that it makes us need hope. Amen. Listen, when I get hope, I can hang on. Right? How many of you have ever come to the end of your rope? Ever come to the end of your rope? Just tie a knot. Just tie a knot. That knot is hope. That knot is I can hang. If I've got hope, the Bible says weeping may endure for the night, but joy, hope, comes in the morning. If I've got some hope that it's going to get better, if I've got some hope, and when they looked at that this young man in that form, but it was an angel, said, come and see the place. He's not here anymore. Come and see the place where he lay. I want to tell you, despair and desperation all of a sudden are beginning to turn around, and joy and happiness and fulfillment are beginning to come in the lives of these ladies. Verse 7, let's look at it. Verse number 7 says this. It says, but go and tell his disciples and Peter. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting that this angel says, hey, go tell the disciples, oh yeah, and don't leave Peter out. We know he messed up. That ought to give us hope, hadn't it? Does that help anybody today? I mean, that helps me to hear that. Go and tell his disciples, oh yeah, Pete messed up. He cut a guy's ear off. He denies. He cusses a little bit. Not that any of you would ever do that. Go and tell the disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. The fourth thing about despair is that despair makes me need direction. See, when I'm in that place of despair, what happens is I just go around in a circle. right? I mean, have you found that? When you're in that place of despair, it's just like, you just, you know, it's kind of like the children of Israel for 40 years in the same trek around that same mountain, watching everything that dies and just keeps going back around. And so in that moment, I need direction. And so what does the angel do? Hey, go and tell his disciples and Peter, oh yeah, here's what you go tell them. He's going on ahead to Galilee, and he's going to meet you there. Can I say this to you? There is nothing in your life that you are facing or that you will ever face that God hasn't already been there. No, don't miss that. Don't miss that. See, it catches us by surprise because we've never been there. But God's already been there. He told Jeremiah, while you were still in your mother's womb, I knew everything about you. He said, I knew your days. I knew everything. The scripture says about God that he goes to the end of a thing before he ever begins it. And so whatever it is that you are experiencing, whatever it is that you're going through in the moment of desperation, in that place of despair, understand God's already been there. He says to the disciples, go ahead, go to Galilee. But guess what? He's already going to be there. When you get there, when you get to that place of your destiny, when you get to that place of the moment where you don't know what to do and you don't know what's going on, in that moment, God has already been there. That's the assurance that you have as a believer. He says, neither principality nor power nor things present nor things to come are able to keep us from what God has already prepared for us. You've got to understand today that whatever you're going through, whatever you have experienced, whatever maybe you went through or whatever you're going to go through, maybe you're in that place today that everything is smooth. I am so thankful if you're there. But please keep the notes. Because you shall need this sermon. I'll be King James for you. You will need this word a week, a month, a year, 5 years down the road. You are going to go to that place where it's like the black hole has swallowed you up. And in that moment, you need to know that whatever it is that you're going through, God's already been there. He lives in the eternal now. Nothing ever catches him by surprise. He is already where you're going. That's the hope that we have as believers. So how do we go from despair to hope? Let me quickly do this. First of all is you've got to face the full depth of your feelings. Have you ever seen people who wouldn't admit when they were going through stuff? Right? Well, I got to confess the word. Here's the word. If I'm sick, I'm sick. Now, I know he's my healer, and I don't mind saying he's my healer, but if I'm sick, I'm sick. Don't tell me I'm not sick. Sherry, years ago, I was still living in Adamsville, and I was sick. I don't know what was wrong, but I was sick. I was really sick, and I was laid out on the couch, and I heard her talking to one of my friends on the phone, and she said, Eddie's kind of sick, and I yelled, I'm not kind of sick. I was sick. I know when I'm sick. Don't tell me I'm not sick. I know I'm a big baby, but that's all right. See, until you admit the depth of what you're going through, you can't come out on the other side. These women are in the place of despair that they feel like their life is over, and they're talking about it, and they're dealing with it as they're going on. And in that moment, they're able to navigate what it is that God wants to do for them. The second thing is, don't be afraid to ask for help. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. The Word of God lets us know that we need one another. That we need, there are moments that you better ask somebody for help. Now, I believe you ought to ask God. I believe you ought to take it to the Lord, and I don't have any problem with that. But there are moments in your world and in your life that you need to go to somebody else and say, you know what? I am in a dark place. I feel like there's no hope. I feel like there's no way I'm going to get out of this, and I need somebody who's going to love me, somebody who's going to pray for me, and somebody who's going to walk with me while I am in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death. I love the psalmist. We quote that scripture at funerals, but that's not a funeral scripture. Watch what he says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. The third thing there is you need to pray for God's intervention. I believe that the power of God is able to show up in your darkest moment and change it. I don't believe that there's anything that you're facing that God is not bigger than. There's no family problem. There's no health issue. There's no monetary thing. There is nothing that God is not able to handle. I mean, look at the life of Jesus as he walked upon this earth. Every time he walks in to a seemingly hopeless, desperate situation, in that moment, he changes it. He starts off the very first part of his ministry. Despair has set in to a wedding. And there is no wine. Now, you have to deal with that. I'm not even going to touch that today. There's not any wine. And his mama says, I love mamas. His mama says, do whatever he says. And he looks at her and says, it's not my time. But it's a desperate place, a place of despair, and Jesus turns water into grape juice. No, wine. I'm sorry. Just seeing if you're following me. Turn it into wine. He meets a funeral procession. A young boy is dead. What does he do? He doesn't say, well, God bless you. He walks over and says, young man, arise. He sees the blinded eyes. He heals the lepers. He heals. He walked into desperate situations, to places of despair, and he intervened in that moment. The last thing is this. Choose action. These women did not sit. I love the fact that it's not the great men of Jesus' posse that show up. They're over there in a locked room talking about, I want to go fishing, and I can't believe he left us. And they got the doors locked because they think they're going to be beheaded or hung on a cross. And these women said, we're going to do something. We're going to do something. Do not let despair stop you from moving. This whole sermon, I've been resisting the urge to sing gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it were not for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Come on, any of y'all remember that dumb show? Gloom, despair, and agony. That's where we get. But here's what happens. The 16th chapter, and I'll close with this, verse 19 and 20, says, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples, these guys who had been in total despair, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his words by the signs that accompanied it. When you go through that moment, or those moments, and God shows up, your life goes to a whole new level. And you now don't have to live in that place of destruction. Here's what happens, and I close. When I come through it, the Bible says I come through it as pure gold. When I've been tried in the fire, I come through it as pure gold.